Hello and welcome. My name is Desiree Amandasir, and this is the Desiree Show. If you are going to be tweeting or sharing posts or comments from this particular episode or any episode, please use the hashtag The Desiree Show. For those of you who don't know, I blog at DesireeAmandasir.com. You can go to the bookstore and check out a lot of resources there. Books, ebooks, teleseminar playbacks and workshops, and so forth and so on. I am the author of Otherworldly, an in-depth study of fantastical beings, which is only available at DesireeAmandasir.com. So do go check that out. And if you haven't already, take some time and listen to my show trailer. Just that will give you a good introduction to the blog itself in general. Okay. So for the introduction for today's episode, this is our second episode. Hopefully you listened to the first episode, my inaugural episode, which was dealing with 2020 establishment and prosperity. So basically that's giving you sort of the rundown of what I believe God is saying for this year and for the decade, really, because we just entered into another decade. So, and the focus of this particular podcast, not episode, but just this podcast in general, as opposed to my blog or maybe what I do on Periscope and Facebook Live, is to talk about the three L's: life, love, and leadership. So today we are landing on the second L, which is love. Okay, we're not going to have a rundown of my love life today, but we're going to be talking about something that you have probably seen just filling your timeline, whether it's been Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or just the news in general. We're going to talk about Harry and Meghan. Yes, I just said that. We're talking about the Sussexes, the Duke and the Duchess of Sussex, Prince Harry, the son of the late Princess Diana, and Prince Charles, who is the future King of England. And so we're sort of using that as a springboard. We're not going to focus on that. And actually, if you guys are like really big British monarchy buffs like I am, just a little bit nerdy, I'm going to do a bonus episode just to give you more feedback and rundown on the history and that actual situation and what it entails. But that's not going to be the focal point of this particular post, although it will be a springboard for this topic today, okay? So the particular title of this, if you have not seen it, is Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and Marriage. Let me say that again. Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and Marriage. Of course, Megxit is a play on the word Brexit, okay? Britain's exit from the EU, okay? So if I had sort of a more secondary title, it would be, what are you marrying? Who are you marrying? Okay, because there's so much that goes into that. We're going to be discussing counting the cost. What can you tolerate? What are your deal breakers? Have you really thought this through? And we're also going to be discussing the importance of healing to us individually so that we can make smart romantic decisions. Okay, so let me just say, I know all of y'all are not going to agree with me as it pertains to my particular view and perspective of what Harry and Meghan are choosing to do with what we're hashtagging as Megxit. But there are going to be some good pointers in here, whether you do or don't agree with me about my opinions on what Harry and Meghan are doing, okay? So some very good actionable points that you can utilize to take a good introspective look at where you are as a single, as a married individual, as someone who's dating or courting or engaged. It will help you really to take an introspective look and really assess where you are, okay? But first, I'm going to give you a rundown just in case you have been living under a rock for the past week. I'm going to give you a very brief rundown on the Megxit situation. So basically, Harry and Meghan issued an official announcement stating, and I'm not going to read the announcement in this particular post, I'll do that in the bonus episode, but basically they want to retain their royal titles, as, you know, prince, princess, duke, and duchess, but they would like to step down as senior royal. So they want to still be royal, but they don't want to be a senior royal, basically. So they want to live bicontinentally while still carrying out a portion of their duties to the Queen and the Commonwealth. Now, I'm sure Meghan's probably one of those Americans who's like, deuces America while President Trump is in office. But she has a home, you know, or they have a home, I guess I should say, in Canada. And so she's living between, or they are living, I should say, them and their baby Archie are living between the United Kingdom and England and also in Canada, okay? But we'll just say North America to be safe because I believe Meghan's mother, Doria, lives in California, okay? So, but yeah, they still want to live bicontinentally while carrying out duties to the queen and country, so to speak, okay? And this would not be the first time someone has actually made that particular decision. And again, I'm a huge nerd when it comes to European monarchies. I've been studying them for 20 years, well, over 20 years. I'll say since I was 12, and I am 34 now. So someone can do the math on that. But Princess Madeline of Sweden, who is the third born of King Carl and his wife, whose name escapes my memory right now. She's the third born, the second daughter, and she's married to an American and British financier, if you will, banker, if you will. Her firstborn was actually born in New York City. So we do have an actual American princess who was born here, but that child has dual citizenship as an American and as Swedish royalty. And baby Archie will likely have, well, he does have dual citizenship because Meghan did not renounce her American citizenship. So Archie will be American, a Native American, well, not a Native American, but by virtue of his mother's citizenship, he will be afforded American citizenship. And then he will also be a citizen of the UK, of the British Empire, thanks to his father, who of course is Prince Harry. And he'll also be living in Canada as well. So he is not bicontinental, he is tricontinental, okay? And then they also want financial independence. So this is really key about them stepping down from senior royals, because when you are a senior royal, especially if you are a woman marrying a man who's royal like Kate Middleton, you give up your job. You give up your financial independence. And it's not just sit here and do nothing. Becoming a senior royal is a full-time job. So your job is going about your royal duties, your patronages and your charities and so forth and so on. So your schedule is very well packed as a senior royal. So basically, Harry and Meghan, they're not technically quitting their jobs, but they kind of are, basically. And she would like to have more financial independence, okay? So this means that they will not be taking any more money once this is solidified from the sovereign grant, which does afford all of these royals the funds that they live off of, okay? And it would seem that they have basically tried out royal life. You know, Harry, of course, was born into it. And quote-unquote they, and by they, I mean largely Meghan, have decided that the protocols and demand of royal life was not for them slash her, okay? Or for their family, if you want to word it that way, okay? So that is Megxit. And again, I will give you much more details that will support, I'll give you much more history as well as commentary in the bonus episode if that's something you would like to listen to, okay? So the primary problems here, as it pertains to Meghan, and I'm trying to be fair, y'all, I really am. As it pertains to Meghan, if you followed anything about Meghan Markle, she has not known a loving, trusting, close-knit family. She has not known a healthy, non-toxic family situation outside of her mother, Doria. Okay, she seems to be very close to her mother, but everyone else, you know, her father and her half-brother and her half-sister seem to be estranged from her. You know, her father was ill during the wedding, which is why Prince Charles, Harry's father, walked her down the aisle, which was very sweet. It was very moving that he offered to do that. However, this man also basically sold a private letter to the tabloids. So I think it's safe to say that they are, in fact, still estranged because there's been no update on that situation. And if I recall correctly, the Queen did sort of encourage them to, you know, to reach out and to sort of handle it, but I doubt that has actually happened. Okay, so the other aspect is that Harry seems to have never properly healed from the death of his mother, and more so the nature of her death, because as we all recall, Princess Diana did not just die. She did not get sick. She did not pass away in childbirth. She was killed in a car crash. Now, there are people out there who blame the monarchy, which I think is personally ridiculous. I blame the paparazzi. And this is sort of what triggers Harry. And we're going to get to triggers. But it's very raw. You know, it's very raw for him and it's very real for him. So you have Meghan, who's growing up basically estranged and isolated from any family besides her mother, and Harry, who's had his mother viciously taken from him. These are two deeply unhealed, wounded individuals who fell in love and got married, okay? So basically, with Meghan's isolation and with Harry's triggers, these have compounded and, as far as I'm concerned, created Megxit, okay? I feel that Meghan's isolation is a survival tactic that she felt and perhaps did have to employ for a while, but now it's causing her either consciously or subconsciously to isolate her family to herself, to isolate Harry away from his family to herself, and of course their baby Archie, and only those that she trusts can be a true part of their circle, not those that Harry trusted before he met her, okay? And Harry is so blindly in love that he can't really see that this move is distancing himself further and further from his family, especially from the role that he was born into. You know, you don't just become a royal one day. You know, there is a process, whether you marry in or whether you're born into it, and he was literally born into it, okay? So I am personally afraid that he will wake up and look back one day to deeply regret many of his decisions. And then there's other questions like, okay, is little baby Archie gonna grow up to be close to his cousins? You know, like Harry and Will were. Harry and Will were very close. They have been very close basically until Meghan came along. And then they were also very close with their cousins, with Peter Phillips and Zara Phillips Tyndall, who are the children of Princess Anne, who is Prince Charles's sister, who he was very close to. They seem to be relatively close to their uncle Prince Andrew's daughters, Princess Beatrice and Eugenie, the one who just got married, and Beatrice is of course engaged, and we are waiting for a royal wedding date to be announced, and that will probably be the first good news, I should say, that we get from the British royal family in the near future, because there have been a lot of negative things happening, okay? And so that's a very real question. Is Harry going to be isolated from his father's side of the family? You know, Prince Louis, William and Kate's baby boy, is only 1 year older than him. They should, you know, by all rights, be very close, you know, if their personalities mesh. Or maybe he'd be close to Charlotte, maybe he'd be close to George, even though there's quite an age gap there, you know. But it does not appear that there are any cousins or, you know, second cousins, if you will, in Meghan's family that Archie would be close to, because she basically operates like a single child, because she, as far as we know, is the only child of Doria Ragland that we know of, or at least that I know of, I'll say, okay? So, and I'm listing all of these things for a purpose. You may be wondering, okay, what does this have to do with you? What does this have to do with life, love, and leadership? It actually has to do with all three, but we're going to focus in on love. You know, so we're going to be talking about counting the cost, okay? So let's say you met someone, you fell in love, and you want to get married. Congratulations, okay? But my question to you is, have you truly counted up the cost of what marrying that person will entail? What marrying that person will be like? Because you are not just marrying a person, You are marrying a family. In Meghan's case, she did not just marry a person, she married a prince. She did not just marry a prince, she married a royal institution. They nicknamed themselves The Firm, okay? So have you counted the cost? Whomever that person is that you're in love with, that you're courting, that you're engaged to, have you really, truly been honest about what that is going to entail and how this is going to change your life? Because it is going to change your life, okay? It is absolutely going to change your life. The question is how? Is it going to be a positive change? Is it going to be a situation where there is good and bad? Is it going to be a situation where the good outweighs the bad or the bad outweighs the good, okay? You have to be honest about that. Because the stuff that you don't deal with now is going to come back and bite you in the butt later, okay? Luke 14, verses 26 through 33 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is Jesus talking, of course. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish? Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, obviously, we are not talking about discipleship. However, we do know that scripture draws a parallel between our relationship with Christ and marriage, our relationship with God and marriage, okay? So in that sense, many of these things do apply, okay? So now God is not saying, or Jesus is not saying, you know, you have to literally hate your father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, okay? In this instance, okay? What he's saying is that the actual translation is you have to love them a little less than you love me. Another way of saying that, you have to put me first, okay? In a marriage, you know, and really if you're in the process of marrying someone, preparing to marry someone, as far as people go, that person comes first, okay? Even if you have children, that person comes first. When you are married to them, your spouse comes first. It's God, and then it's your spouse, and then it's you. Okay? It does get a little tricky if you have kids, but the best model is still that the spouse comes before the kids. Okay? So you have to put God first, and then your spouse, and then everybody else, you know, in their respective places. Okay? So that's what that means. Okay? He's saying, whomever does not bear the cross is not going to come after me. The cross, it symbolizes a lot of things, but one of the main things it symbolizes is sacrifice. Jesus literally gave up his life for the world. And husbands, you're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church, okay? But there's that equal sacrifice for women as well. We have to give up literally our names unless you just happen to meet and fall in love with and marry someone who has the same last name as you, which would be a lot less paperwork for you since you don't have to change your name except for your prefix, you know, the Ms. to Mrs., if you will, okay? And then he gives the example of somebody building a tower. How do you just say, I'm going to build a tower, but you don't actually figure out how much it's going to cost you to build the tower? You just say, oh, I have these bricks over here, you know, I'm just going to work with what I have. And but you have an image of what you want in your head. And if you don't know if you're going to have enough, it's going to look kind of ridiculous, right? And then again, an even more drastic example is someone who would go to war, but you haven't studied your enemy. You haven't done recon. You don't know how many people they're coming against you with. You don't know their specialities. Do you know the terrain you're fighting on? Like, what recon have you done? What preparation have you done? Because you're going to look very foolish, okay, if you go to war and you're not prepared. History is full of situations like that, okay? Just read your local textbook. Doesn't matter what country you're in. I'm sure there is an example somewhere of someone who is arrogant and unprepared. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you're arrogant in a romantic sense, but more than likely, you're looking through rose-colored glasses, which is not helpful when you're trying to merge your life with someone else's, okay? So you may not be marrying royalty, earthly royalty, but you may be marrying a minister or a pastor. You may be marrying a doctor, an entrepreneur, a soldier, a police officer, or an athlete. This could be male or female, okay? You're marrying somebody, okay? You're marrying their career. You know, something Bishop Tudor Bismarck told me several years ago, actually 10 years ago, almost exactly, that I have never forgotten is, you know, that it's difficult for a woman. It's hard for a woman because whatever her husband is, whatever he does, she has to take that on. And it's true. You know, if you marry a pastor, whether you're a pastor's wife, a first lady, a co-pastor, you know, whatever kind of understanding and arrangement you've come to, you still have to help your pastor with that, or your husband with that church. Whatever your role translates into being, you still, even if you don't have an actual role in the church, which is hard for me to imagine, but I know that's the case in some denominations, in some instances, you still have to, you're married to your husband, and he's also married to the church. You know what I mean? Okay, so you have to take that on. The sacrifices, the hours, the people who call, who show up on your doorstep, who make demands of you, who try and, you know, grab the hem of your garment after service is over. You have to marry that. Okay, you have to be prepared for that. And it's so funny, all these women, you know, I went to Oral Roberts University, ORU, whoop, whoop, Golden Eagles. And there were a lot of women there, you know, who just wanted to marry a preacher, who just wanted to chase a preacher. And it's like, sweetheart, do you know what this life entails? Like, I understand there is some glitz and glamour depending on what preacher, denomination, or situation, whatever, you know, whomever they may be, but that is a rough life. You don't just say, I want to marry a preacher just because you like preachers and how they preach. Like, there are going to be some lonely nights. There are going to be some hard sacrifices that you have to make for the church, you know? And so it's very irresponsible of women to go around just saying, oh, I just want to marry a preacher, or I just want to marry a rich doctor, or I just want to marry a rich lawyer, or just whatever, just without really considering how his career is going to affect you, you know? And fellas, it's the same thing. Like, if you're marrying someone, how is her career going to affect you? Because guess what? Women don't go blind when they say, I do. God does not remove the vision that he gave her for her life when she marries you, okay? So what is your respective purpose? What is the respective vision God has given you for your life? Do those even go together? You know, one of my girlfriends posted some videos the other day, and somebody had reached out to her and was saying, you know, basically, what is my purpose as a mother? I kind of feel like outside of being a mother, I don't really have a purpose. And I told her that I was utterly horrified, just utterly horrified at her comments, because what that communicated to me was that she never sought out what her purpose was before she got married. So, and God forbid, I hope this is not the case, but if you don't know what your purpose is, ladies, you don't even know if you can say yes to that man. Because if you don't know what your purpose is, then you don't know if it aligns with the purpose God has given him for his life. Fellas, it's the same thing. And you're held to a higher standard because you're supposed to be the high priest of the household and the leader. Like, you need to know what your purpose is. Somebody said years ago, you know, I heard this anyway, that, you know, there's this guy who really liked this girl. and he was just really trying to get at her. And she was like, you know, you're asking me to follow you, but I don't know where you're going. Some of y'all have that problem, gents, okay? You don't really have a clear cut out purpose, and you're asking women to follow you literally into no man's land. Or you're all over the place, you know, one month this is your purpose, the next month something else is your purpose. You're confused. That's not something a woman wants to follow, okay? Or maybe you do know what your purpose is, but you don't actually want a helpmate. You think a helpmate is a maid. You think a helpmate is a woman who pops out kids. That's not a helpmate, okay? A helpmate is someone, this is how Darius Daniels broke it down. A helpmate, or well, a soulmate, I should say, is someone who is suitable for your soul and necessary for your purpose, okay? I think that's an excellent definition in that context. That is what a soulmate and a helpmate should be. And I have a podcast, it's not my podcast, but it was actually an interview. And if you go to Grace to Build, the handle on Instagram, you can see that podcast link there. But yeah, so that's something you have to be mindful of. You both need to actually be able to help and assist each other in your purposes. Husbands, you should be able to cultivate your wife in her purpose, not just pat her on the back, not just congratulate her. Like, what can you actually do to push her into her purpose? This ain't one-sided, okay? God did not put us here strictly to serve you, fellas. You are mutually submitting to each other. That's what the Bible says, okay? Servitude goes both ways. Cultivation goes both ways. Dominion goes both ways, okay? So be mindful of that, okay? So can you handle, you know, what your spouse's or potential spouse's occupation is, okay? You may not be marrying royalty, but you may be marrying someone significantly older than you, significantly younger than you, from a different culture, from a different ethnicity, from a familial religious background that's different, or from a different country, aka nationality. Can you really handle that? Some of that is kind of like a novelty, but it's not something that you can handle in reality, okay? You may not be marrying royalty, but you may be marrying someone who is divorced, who has kids, or who has both, or who has a clingy family, or even just one crazy family member who doesn't understand boundaries. Can you handle that, okay? You may be marrying someone who is either estranged from their family, like Meghan Markle, or distant with their family, or who never knew their family at all, perhaps a foster child or someone who was adopted, okay? Someone who had really rough situations. Can you really handle that, okay? This is why discernment is so important when selecting a life partner, because you may think that you can handle certain circumstances in theory until the time comes to experience those circumstances in actuality. So just as an example, and y'all can laugh and tease me if you want to, but this is just Desiree Michelle Mondesir's personal, like, I have no desire to marry you, okay, if you're one of these. If you're an athlete, I've always said I would make a terrible basketball wife, okay? I don't care. Like, I don't like sports, okay? Football wife, basketball wife, Lord knows, hockey wife, I'm not doing it, okay? Any sports wife, I'm not your girl, okay? Any servicemen, okay? So if you're in the Army, if you're in the Navy, if you're in the Air Force, any branch of the military, zero interest. I thank you for your service. I am not personally going to suffer my husband being overseas for months and for years, potentially at a time. My father actually fought in Iraq for 9 months. I'm not interested. And he volunteered because he was Air National Guard, so he was reserves. He did not have to fight. He chose to. I'm good. That's not my ministry, okay? And God bless all of the women who have married people who are in the military. I can't do that, okay? I refuse to do that. Personally, I'm not interested in marrying a cop, okay? I don't want to be married to a man who literally has to walk out of the door and risk his life every day. And now with anti-cop sentiments, he could be the most amazing man in the world and somebody will only see a uniform. That's not a situation I want my husband to be in, okay? So I'm not doing that, okay? I don't really have an interest in marrying a doctor. It's never, honestly, never been something that's ever crossed my mind. And when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't, and this is going to sound crazy. Someone's probably going to laugh or, you know, whatever. I don't have an interest in marrying anybody's armor bearer. Okay. Not, and I told somebody this a couple months ago. They were trying to actually fix me up with their armor bearer. And I flat out told them, I was like, no, I'm not interested in dating or marrying someone's armor bearer. I've been there. I've done that. I had my years where I basically lived in the church. I'm not doing it. I'm like, look, okay, it better be your church or just go have a business, okay? Like, I'm not going to spend my life living in a church. Frankly, that is not mine. And by mine, I mean my husband and I are over that church. We founded it or we took over it, okay? I'm just not interested. I'm just being completely honest. God bless every woman who is married to a number two. I'm not interested, okay? Personally, and this is not, I don't even know if I should say this, but this is completely honest, which is how honest I want you guys to be with yourselves. I'm not marrying an African, okay? I have zero interest in marrying an African. I've dated two. The first one wasn't bad, okay? He wasn't bad. Didn't work out, obviously, but the second one was just horrible, okay? And I've had just bad experiences, but even more than that, I like living in America. I'm not moving to Nigeria, to Ghana, to South America, to eat. I'm not going, okay? I'm going to stay in America. And I realize, you know, God blocked it personally for me, and God bless everyone. I have friends who are married to Africans. I have friends who are African, guy friends, girlfriends. I know some amazing African individuals. Just personally, I think I'm good with an American, with a black American man, okay? That's just my personal preference. It's not racism. You could call it a prejudice, but it's I've just had really bad experiences personally with African men who have dated me or wanted to date me, and I've heard really bad stories. So that's just my personal whatever. Please don't take it personally, okay? Because I'm sure whomever is listening to this, you're a wonderful person, okay? So yeah, I just want a black American man. That's my personal preference. There's nothing like a black man, and that is my preference, and there is nothing wrong with that, you know? Also, Matthew McConaughey is married, as is Michael Fassbender, okay? So if you don't know who that is, if you don't know who Michael Fassbender is, that is young Magneto. He's married, okay? So kind of sucks, okay? And the only African I would have considered is now married to. Idris Elba is married, okay? So that's not going to work for me, okay? He married the wonderful Sabrina, I can't pronounce her last name, but she's, I believe, Ethiopian and absolutely gorgeous. They seem to be very, very happy together, so God bless them, okay? Last, I personally have zero desire to marry a gay man, an effeminate man, a same-sex attracted man, because people want to separate these days. And I have zero interest in marrying a man who is delivered from that lifestyle. I know they do get married, and I know God does change and deliver and transform hearts. He can reprogram your brain. Like, I believe in all that, but that is personally not my ministry, and I refuse. Especially living in Atlanta right now, I absolutely and utterly refuse. And God bless each and every one of you who has truly been delivered from that lifestyle. And I pray that God would keep you. But that is personally not my ministry, okay? And then I have a note here that preachers are on the endangered list, because I've dated a couple of y'all too. I've dated a couple of y'all, talked to a couple of y'all. Y'all creep up in my DMs. And I probably will wind up with some sort of preacher, truth be told. But I'm just really not interested in it right now, okay? And with all of the church drama and the church politics, I'll put it like this, okay? This is probably a better way of saying this. I already said I'm not dating an armor bearer, okay? I am not dating someone who plays church politics. I absolutely and utterly refuse, okay? Will not do it. I will not date or be engaged to or marry someone who is in agreement or friendship or covenant with someone who has tried to destroy my reputation. And the church said amen. I will not date or marry or submit to or be engaged to any man who follows sketchy ministers. I ain't naming no names, okay? But I'm sure y'all can imagine. So if you follow really sketchy people, if you follow people whose sexuality ain't worked out, if you follow people who are just messy and who play the church politics game, that's not going to work for me, because I have to submit to you if you're my husband, and I ain't submitting to that, okay? I'm not doing it. So those are some of my personal preferences. That is just Desiree Michelle Mondesir. It's based on my desires, my experiences, my observances, and my purpose, okay? I'm not doing it. I'm just not, okay? Some of you, some things to consider, you know, let's look at some occupations, okay? So here's the example of royalty, or I should say senior royalty, and the considerations that are attached to that, okay? Financial dependence upon the state, okay? No personal occupation, no right to a private life, the paparazzi. There has to be a delicately balanced position, because in a lot of countries, the royalty has been overthrown. Prince Consort Philip, who is the husband of Queen Elizabeth, the current Queen of England, he literally had to be smuggled out of Greece, because he's a prince by birth. He had to be smuggled out of Greece in an orange crate, okay? I don't need to tell y'all about the Romanovs and how Anastasia and her sisters and her brother and her parents were shot up, okay? And the whole monarchy was overthrown, okay? So having a monarchy that's still in existence, even if it feels like it's primarily a ceremonial position, is a very precarious position, okay? I heard a commentator say recently that the best thing, I think, and I'm probably going to word it wrong, the best thing about the British monarchy is that there's a percentage of people that hate them. And again, I'm sure I said that wrong. I don't watch Fox News, but the clip I watched was from Fox News or whatever, someone being interviewed, a British commentator. And basically he was saying, knowing that there is a small fraction of people that hate the monarchy, keeps the monarchy on their toes. It's a very precarious position. And then, of course, there are royal protocols that must be adhered to, okay? So that's if you're marrying a royalty or senior royalty, okay? So for the British royal family, it would be the Queen, her husband, Prince Charles, and his wife. Some of his, I think his siblings would fall in that category. Perhaps not his sister Anne. Her children and husband don't have titles, and that was intentional. But definitely William and Harry, their wives, and then when they're old enough, their children, okay? So those are the senior royals, if you will. And again, I think that probably includes Prince Charles's siblings, Andrew and Edward, and then their sister Anne, okay? For a minister, if you're marrying a minister or a pastor, you know, there's basically no off days, okay? And it's not that you don't declare, oh, Monday's my day off, or I'm taking a sabbatical. People don't care, okay? People don't care if you're having an off day. Emergencies, death, births, none of these things care if you're having an off day, okay? There is public and private criticism that you are going to be subjected to, as well as vicious attacks on your reputation, on your person, on your family. There will be entitled parishioners or church members, unrealistic demands, deep and frequent sacrifices, frequent travel likely, fickle pay potentially, and then you do have church groupies, okay? These women who just will run over the pastor's wife to get to the pastor, okay? Women are crazy. We can be crazy. I'm not like that, but some of us are, okay? If you marry a doctor, okay, there are long hours that you have to deal with. I mean, you could be on call. You could, God forbid, you could be at work anywhere between 24 to 72 hours. You know what I mean? Y'all watch these medical shows, New Amsterdam, Chicago Med, Grey's Anatomy, whatever. Okay. If something really crazy happens, that doctor is going to stay there. He may catch a few Z's, you know, he or she may catch a few Z's, but that those are some long hours that doctors and nurses work. You know what I mean? So that's long hours, potentially without sleep, but definitely without going home. And then long hours spent with coworkers. A lot of doctors have very high divorce rates, okay? There's a lot of rumors about doctors cheating with nurses or other doctors or marrying nurses and things like that, okay? If you're marrying a corporate businessman, a C-level individual, CEO, CFO, COO, something like that, or entrepreneur, okay, you're going to have to deal with long hours, frequent meetings and trips, long time spent with the team, with employees and with clients, and then a lot of time probably entertaining individuals with and without your spouse, okay? If it is a wealth manager, a financier, a banker who, like I have an ex-boyfriend who manages the wealth of pro athletes. So basketball players, football players, that kind of thing. Okay. So you're dealing with long hours, frequent meetings and trips. This is basically the same as entrepreneurship. Okay. Long time spent with the team. If he has a team, or I'll just say, coworkers, if you will, employees and clients, and then also a lot of entertaining with and without the spouse. And this is going to be the more glitzy, glamorous type of bankers who work with, you know, the celebrities, if you will. Okay. Professional athlete, long hours, frequent trips, long time spent with the team. And of course the infamous groupies. Okay. The groupies who just want to get them a ball player, football player, basketball player, maybe a baseball player, perhaps a hockey player, just a groupie is a groupie is a groupie, okay? And they might have a disease, okay? And then military, long tours overseas or at war, frequent danger, real possibility of death, okay? And then also law enforcement, long hours, anti-cop sentiments, frequent danger, real possibility of death. And then there's the temptation to be crooked, the temptation to hide a little bit of the drugs, the temptation to steal some money that they find, or just different things like that, because it's not like they get paid super well, okay? So you have to be mindful of all of those considerations that go into marrying somebody with that occupation, okay? Just be very realistic, okay? If you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen, okay? If you know you're not interested in or all right with the sacrifices and temptations of your spouse's occupation and or status, then don't marry them. If you know your potential spouse does not have the current character to handle the sacrifices and the temptations of their status or their occupation or your occupation, then don't marry them. Okay? Think about Bobby Brown. Okay? He was not in a situation to be able to truly support Whitney, because he was jealous, he was envious, he had some issues. So I call that the Bobby Brown syndrome, when a husband has a problem with his wife being in the limelight. Okay, don't think you can glean from it and then get mad when she's doing what God put her on the earth to do. It's a whole problem. So what I need you to do is snap out of it, okay? If you're blind to anything but stars and rose-colored glasses due to your potential spouse's occupation or status, then snap out of it, okay? Marriage is reality. Public life is, if that is your case, is reality. Lack of privacy can be a reality. Women trying to steal your man if he's a preacher or a celebrity or just a pro athlete, whatever, that is a very real reality, okay? If you do not have the character to handle this, you are walking into a disaster, okay? If you are stuck on trying to be a statement or a symbol but aren't ready for the reality of actually living that life, such as an interracial couple, like, oh, we just want people to see our love, but you're not really focusing on what's going to go into that, don't get married, okay? If you want to marry a person of color, and I hear this a lot, okay? I hear some of y'all say comments like this, okay? If you want to marry a person who's black or who's Hispanic or who's whatever, just so you can have cute mixed babies, snap the heck out of it, okay? Children are not novelty items. You don't just make a mixed baby because you think it's cute, okay? Your spouse, who is of a different ethnicity or nationality, is not your novelty item, okay? So this is, if that's your mindset, snap out of it, okay? If you are marrying someone just to get ahead or just to get a pulpit, snap out of it. If you're marrying someone just to increase your economic status, snap out of it. If you are selling your happiness down the river for the sake of a position or materialism, snap out of it, okay? Be honest as best as you can be about your potential spouse's situation and what that is going to cost you. And then truthfully decide if that is something that you can really live with. It is better for you to go through a broken heart now or deal with a broken heart now than to deal with misery or divorce down the line, okay? Nobody wants divorce. You know, the Bible says that God hates divorce in the book of Malachi. It does not provide a qualifier. It doesn't say he hates divorce unless he beat you. He hates divorce unless he cheated on you. It does not say that. It simply says, I the Lord, hate divorce. Okay? Why? Because it rends the garment. Something that has been bound together is then torn asunder. That's why in the vows they say, you know, what God has put together, let no man tear asunder. Okay. In this case, divorce is y'all tearing it asunder. It is painful and it's a quote unquote violent act, whether you had a biblical out or not, whether they broke covenant or not. Okay. It's something that God hates. It's something that grieves his heart. You know, when the Pharisees and Sadducees asked Jesus about divorce, he said, Moses allowed you to write a writ of divorce because of the hardness of your heart. So he said, because of unforgiveness, which we do know is a sin, okay? Because of unforgiveness, Moses relented and let y'all have legal divorce. But from the beginning, it was not so. That was not the heart of God. That was not the plan of heaven. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. That was the plan of God as it pertained to marriage. Now, that's not to say that you can't repent if you get divorced and that you can't be in your purpose or anything like that, you know, but it's just saying that was never God's original plan for you, okay? I am not going to get through this whole outline. I am on page 7 of 12. So we're going to have to break this into part 1 and part 2. But we'll get to the second half, which is get healed, next week. But I really wanted to lay that foundation for you guys so you understood the springboard of the situation and why I'm talking about it, okay? So in the meantime, I would like you for our reflection in action to make a list of 5 to 10 of your relationship non-negotiables. It could be dealing with the occupation or just issues you don't want to deal with, period, okay? And don't let anybody make you feel bad for what you are just not willing to put up with in a marriage, okay? Unless you're like racist or something crazy like that. that's a little bit different, okay? Then we're going to need you to see part 2, which is get healed, okay? But make a list of 5 to 10 negotiable or non-negotiables just so we're clear, okay? We're not talking about superficial stuff. He must be 6 feet tall. He must be 6'5". I'm not talking about that stuff, okay? I'm not talking about he must wear a suit for his occupation. I love a man in a suit. That's not on my list, okay? I'm talking about character issues, maybe something from his past, maybe something in a family situation like, you are just not interested in a blended family situation. That is fine. That is your prerogative, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, God may surprise you, but I'm just saying, like, write down what you feel your non-negotiables are, okay? And don't let anyone make you bad. And then second, take some time today, or maybe this week, but hopefully today, and journal about what your life would look like with you operating in your full purpose with a truly suitable and supportive spouse. What does that look like to you? What do you see? What's sort of on the vision board of your spirit's mind, if you will? When you think of your future, I'm not talking about your future with you operating outside of your purpose. I'm talking about when you see God's perfect will for your life, what does that look like? Okay, so those are going to be your actionable steps today. And then, okay, thank you for listening. Thank you. Please connect with me, okay? Subscribe to my website, DesireeMMondesir.com, if you have not already. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope at Desiree M. Mondesir. And then follow me on Twitter as well at Desiree Mondesir, no middle initial, okay? And then contact me if this resonated with you. You can go to my contact page on my website, or you can certainly DM me on Instagram or Facebook as well, and let me know what you thought about this particular episode. Not so much about Harry and Meghan. We can save that for the bonus episode. But specifically, the points I pulled out and the teaching itself, not just the rundown, but the actual teaching. And then share this podcast in your timeline. Share this with someone who's maybe getting married, or maybe who's just a really big nerd when it comes to following the royals. It doesn't matter to me, okay? But share this with your timeline. Share this with someone in particular. Maybe tag some people in the comment section under the post. And then favorite this podcast and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're listening to this on. Please subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And then visit my bookstore at DesireeMMondesir.com, okay? You should be able just to click. I think my latest book is being advertised there right now. So you can just click on, you know, the thing that takes you to buying the book, and it'll take you straight to the bookstore. And you can see all of my books and resources there, okay? But y'all are awesome. I will be back with a bonus episode and apparently with part two of Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and marriage, okay? Y'all be blessed, and I'll talk to you soon.